Welcome to the first episode of Live from the Mud. I am your host, Tay Cool. And on this podcast, we talk about nothing but ATL sports. So, felt like I had to do it. Nobody else talks about Atlanta sports, and I feel like I can deliver like no one else can. So, we just gonna jump right into it. First topic we're gonna talk about is my Atlanta Falcons. I have to talk about Super Bowl 51. Because that was a real troubling year for me back in 2016, February 5th, 2016. We made it all the way there against the quarterback that I don't necessarily care too much for, and Tom Brady had him up against the ropes 28-3 and then let him come back by a landslide, and then they beat us in overtime. I don't know what happened. Some might say the game was paid for. Some might say they was tired. They ran out of gas. Me, I just saw a huge deflation in my squad. Just like I couldn't believe that they really made it to the biggest game and gave up the lead in the second half. It was just kind of like, wow, like they really did it again. Like, and I'm from here, and I get clowned a lot about us giving up the game in the second half, and they wait until the second half on the most biggest stage and do the impossible in NFL history, get a game away. That night, right at home, had to be the loneliest that I have ever felt. So, just gonna jump right into it. 2017, went up there to Lincoln Financial, and it drove them boys all the way down the field, and we couldn't capitalize on four plays in the red zone. I was really hot about that. So I feel like 2018 is our redemption year. And I'm just going to jump into our draft picks that we drafted this year. Round one, we drafted Calvin Ridley from Alabama with the 26th pick. I felt like he's the missing piece to the puzzle on the Falcons. And I feel like we're going to be unstoppable. Offensive wise, there's no reason why we can't be unstoppable with him, Julio, Mohamed Sanu, Devontae Freeman, Tevin Coleman, Austin Hooper, Justin Hardy, Hall Davis. It's a plethora of talent, and I really do feel like Julio is gonna mold him into a baby Julio, if I must say. He's already came out of Alabama under Nick Saban as a great route runner, great hands. So I feel like he's already pro level ready, and he just have to step up, and he just need this opportunity. So I really do feel like he's gonna slide in at the slot wide receiver under Mohamed Sanu, playing second wide receiver, and I really do think he's gonna make a difference in our offense and make our offense just that more explosive. And with the number two pick in the 2018 draft, we got Isaiah Oliver from Colorado State, cornerback. I really do think that he is the makeup that Jalen Collins was supposed to be from LSU. I really do think that Isaiah Oliver, I'm not going to say lockdown because he's still a rookie, but I really do think he's going to be that outside presence that we can switch around to any big receiver, and he's going to play inside, outside. He's really going to show off the goods from day one. And I really do think with him, True Fun, and Robert Alford, we're gonna make a cornerback trio that's really gonna cause some problems in the league this year. So watch out for Isaiah Oliver. Our third pick, Deidre Sanat, defensive tackle from USF. I really do feel like you can pair him with Grady Jarrett, and he's just a complimentary piece that put pressure up the middle and forced the quarterback to make quick throws. And when we drafted him, I was just like, I see what Thomas Dimitro and I see what Dan Quinn are trying to do. And Grady Jarrett was a little bit undersized from Clemson coming out the fifth round back in 2015. And I really do feel like pairing him with Deidre Sanat is really going to force the quarterbacks of the opposite team to get the ball out of their hands very, very fast. So I really do like that pickup, Deidre Sanat from USF, I'm sorry. And I really do think he's going to make a huge difference in our defense. With the fourth pick, we grabbed the Ito Smith satellite running back from Southern Miss. I really do feel like Devontae, Tevin, and Ito are really going to be a triple-headed monster that you really can line up in the backfield and play running back, and you can bring them out, and they also will be good catching out of the backfield. So I like Ito, and it's a insurance policy, if you will, if Tevin Coleman does decide to not come back with the Falcons 2019. With the fifth pick, we grabbed an athlete from LSU, Russell Gage. He can play both sides of the ball, offense and defense and special teams. So I'm real excited to see what he can do. I reviewed the tape of him, and I really do feel like he's going to be a special player that you can put anywhere, and he's going to be a difference maker. With our last pick, Foye Sade, a Lunacoon from Yale. When I saw him, all I could think about was sideline to sideline. I wouldn't say Deion Jones like, but I really do feel like he would make a perfect fit with Deion, Devondre, Duke Riley, and the rest of our linebacker core that we have. And I really do feel like we have something special in our linebacker core this year. So we're just going to have to stay tuned to see if he progresses with our linebacker core. The Falcons made some very, very nice moves this offseason. We went and grabbed Brandon Fusco from the 49ers. Offensive guard, signed him by $12 million. We also doubled back and got another player from the 49ers, Logan Paulson, tight end. He's more of a blocking tight end, and he's going to be really good and really fit in with Austin Hooper and Eric Stahlberg, if you will. And that's three tight ends that possibly can make a difference. And I really do feel like our offense is going to thrive with him as a blocking tight end or a catching tight end. And I like the pickup. Next, we got Justin Bethel, the cornerback / special team specialist from the Cardinals. Kind of do it all kind of cornerback, just more depth. And he's going to really bolster our cornerback lineup. Got True Fun, got Rocky, you got Brandon Oliver, you got Justin Bethel as well. So I really do feel like that's a great pickup, and he's going to show off the goods. We have a lot of different options to play special teams and defense. So I really do think our depth chart is pretty good. And key acquisition that we got as well is Ron Parker, free safety from the Chiefs. I wasn't expecting us to get anyone to back up Ricardo Allen as well as DeMonte Kazee. But I'm glad we had grabbed him. Veteran presence. And I welcome him to the brotherhood, and I hope he thrives in our system under Marquez Manuel. And I really do feel like our offense and defense have a real good chance of making it all the way here in the city. So I'm just real excited for the season to kick off, and I'm just ready.
We had a lot of off-season in-house things to go on within our organization with the Falcons. We signed Matt Ryan to 150, 100 guaranteed. I feel like he lived up to his contract. I feel like he earned every bit of it. And Arthur Blank, in order to have a franchise quarterback, you got to pay him like a franchise quarterback. Sign him to a 5-year, 150, 100 guaranteed. So now he has 5 years to get this thing right in the line. And hopefully this would be the year, since it is in our city, Super Bowl 53. So I feel like he has all the weapons and no excuses. Because me as a fan looking in, it's like you have zero holes on the offense. Even if we was to take Julio and sit him on the sideline, which I thought was going to be the case if he held out. Because I know he was making a 10.5. He had a three-year deal left. And I thought he was going to hold out for training camp, but luckily he showed up, and he ready to work, put in work. He's just a real humble guy. And I feel like 2019, they really need to take care of Julio, because Matt Ryan can't run a nine route. He can't run a go route. The only thing he do is get the ball out. But I really do feel like Julio has overachieved his contract since we drafted him in 2011. And jumped up and gave all the picks to the Browns. I really feel like, me personally, he will be the second favorite Falcon after Michael Vick, that has revolutionized the way a wide receiver is perceived. When he came in, it was Calvin Johnson. When Calvin Johnson left, it was Julio. Deep ball threat. He does it all. 6'3", 225, run a 4.3. He's a physical specimen. And I really do feel like they stuffed his pockets with $2 million. So all in all, it's like $13 million this year. And then they said they was going to rework his contract next year. So we'll see if that happens. But you give the left tackle, Jake Matthews, 5 years, $75 million. So I understand you got to protect the quarterback, but let's not forget number 11's resume since he's been in Atlanta. He is a fan favorite, humble guy, and he plays up to the level of elite. I would give him number one wide receiver, not being biased. But statistical and stat-wise, of course, they would say A.B. or even Odell. But my personal opinion, I would say number 11 is the best wide receiver in the NFL. So I feel like he deserves to be paid like a number one wide receiver. I think it's kind of crazy that Dan Quinn and T.D., they get their three-year deal. And Matt Ryan get his deal. Jake Matthews get his deal. But Julio is still left with left out in the cold, if you will. But they gave him hush money, and hopefully they can restructure his contract next year. I understand they don't want to redo it, and he still has 3 years left, and his agent got him a couple of years ago for $10 million. But I really think he outplayed his contract. He deserved to be paid his worth. I was a little nervous that he was going to hold out and the chemistry between the team wasn't going to always be there. But we need his presence in training camp so he can mold the rest of the wide receivers and everybody be on the same page so we can be ready to go week one. And I really do feel like this 2018 Falcons squad has the potential to be top five offense and defense. My personal opinion, this squad is better than the Super Bowl squad on paper. We just got to see how that converts from on paper to the field. So you just got to stay tuned. And I'm real excited. Week one, we play the Super Bowl champs. And they start from there. That's the redemption. They're going to show us the rings. And it's our duty to end up with the rings February the 3rd in 2019. So it's Super Bowl or nothing. I know the standards are real high here in Atlanta. The fan base, we thirsty for a ring. We went in 98 with Jamal Anderson, Chris Chandler. Didn't get it done. Had the opportunity to go back in 2012 when we had Roddy White, Tony Gonzalez, and the 49ers closed us out in the dome. We had too many opportunities. We beat Aaron Rodgers back in 2016 and the Seahawks. And then we get to the Super Bowl and do the unthinkable. So I really do feel like that this is the redemption year. And it's up to us to capitalize on the opportunity because the Super Bowl is right here in the city of Atlanta. And it would be very special to do something that no other NFL team has done twice. First, blow the lead. To win in your hometown. It would be nothing better than to silence all the critics and all the naysayers that holding up the Lombardi in the city of Atlanta. And that's all the dirt that I got for that. That's my take on my Atlanta Falcons. And we're going to move right on to the next segment. And you know I got to talk about my hometown Hawks. I really like the offseason that we had so far. It's been an up and down offseason, but it started with the draft. I knew we was going to draft an impact player because we had a top three pick. So I knew we wasn't going to get a scrub, if you will. I knew we was going to get a franchise cornerstone kind of player. When we drafted Luka Doncic, I was kind of taken back by it because I thought we were kind of done with the whole European player kind of thing. He plays point guard, shooting guard, small forward. He create his own shot, 6'8". I was like, okay. I like it. I want to see what they do with the pick and how he's going to fit into the organization. And no sooner than 25, 30 minutes later, the Dallas Mavericks chooses Trae Young, and we swap picks with him, sending Luka Doncic to Dallas, and we taking Trae Young. And we also grabbed a pick from them, their 2019 pick, with the trade of Luka Doncic and Trae Young. I really felt like Trae Young is a real change in the city. He's bringing more, I would say, star level talent to our team. Of course, he's been compared to Steph Curry, but he wants to model his game after Steve Nash. So he's more of a pass first kind of point guard, but with unlimited range. So you see the comparisons of Steph Curry. And I really do feel like the city is going to be behind him. I really do feel like he's going to put asses in the seats in the Phillips Arena. I love the rebuild, and there's no other person in the draft that I'd rather have as a cornerstone to build around than him. He has a lot of height, a lot of pressure to live up to. He has a lot of naysayers. He's skinny, he's this, he's that. Same thing they were saying about Steph Curry. And 9 years later, Steph Curry is the first ballot Hall of Famer. And we're not going to jump the gun so fast and say that this guy's going to be the next Steph Curry. I just hope he's the next Trae Young, passing point guard, good vision, that knows how to create his own shot and shoots the deep ball from anywhere. So I really do feel like we drafted our cornerstone point guard, and we had to let Dennis Schroeder walk because he didn't want to be here. We let him go to the Thunder. So now it's up to Trae Young to step in and be that cornerstone point guard that we build our team around. Second pick, we got Kevin Herter from Maryland, shooting guard, small forward. You know, I had to go back and do a little research on him as well. And Travis Chesnick, I never thought I'd say this, but I never seen a guy more looking like Klay Thompson shooting-wise than Kevin Herter. He's a sharp shooter. I just want him to get better on defensive-wise. That's the only knack on him. They say he has good basketball IQ, but you just have to step it up a little bit on defense. And from college to the NBA is a huge transition. The game is played a little bit more faster, and he has to adapt to his role. He's not going to come in and be the sniper right away. But as long as he comes in and plays his role, I think he'll be a nice cornerstone at shooting guard, small forward from Maryland. And of course, with the 30th pick, I really like the 30th pick. I really do think that this guy is a one-stop shop, if you will. May compare him to Draymond. He's from Villanova. Omari Spellman. He's a power forward and a center. He can stretch the court with a three-point shot. He's a rebounder. It's like he can do it all. Same thing with Draymond. So I see the comparisons. Me personally, I don't like the whole Warriors of the East tag that they given us with our GM coming from Golden State, but I do like the pieces that we're adding to mimic the champs, and I just want us to build from the ground up. I understand this is a rebuild mode. We're not going to come in and win a championship right away, but the players that we have, a young team, I really do feel like in a couple of years we can be elites in the East. And last pick, we traded away to the Charlotte Hornets, Devontae Graham from Kansas, for two future round second picks. So next year, 2019, we have three picks, three number one picks possibly. Ours, Cleveland, and of course Dallas with the trade of Luka Doncic. So that's really something to look forward to. 2019, three number one picks, and the guys that's coming in that I like, that I think that we could get and change our franchise. Zion Williamson from Duke, RJ Barrett from Duke. I like Bol Bol, Manute Bol's son, and Nasir Little. So if we have three top picks, number one, I think the Hawks should go after either one of these guys. And it would be pretty special to see these guys on the floor. As far as this year's team, we brought in this offseason Jeremy Lin, a veteran presence. You know, he's a journeyman. He back in the day, he was with the Knicks. The whole Lin Sanity thing, but that kind of died down. He's just going to be a veteran presence to teach Trae Young how to be a point guard in the NBA. As well, we brought in Alex Lynn from the Phoenix Suns on a two-year deal. Hasn't quite lived up to his potential yet, but we just hoping that 2 years we can bring out what they didn't see in him in Phoenix when they drafted him back in 2013. We just signed him for a two-year deal, so I hope that pays major dividends. As well, Vince Carter, I'm a little excited about that one. I'm not gonna lie to you about that. Vince Carter, slam dunk champ, first ballot Hall of Famer. He's just coming in on the veteran leadership role, just kind of so the young guys on our squad can pick his brain and learn from how to be a model NBA player for one of the all-time greats. Another acquisition that we acquired was Alex Pothras, Daniel Hamilton, Justin Anderson from the 76ers. He's a shooting guard and small forward. The squad that we have, I like. We're a super young squad. You pair what we did in the draft to what we have already on the squad in John Collins. He's a power forward, center. He really did his thing in summer league. I like him progressing. I saw the progression in summer league. DeAndre Bembry, Jalen Allen, Adams, I'm sorry, Torian Prince, Kent Bazemore, Dwayne Dedmon, and I really like that squad. I think just a lot of folks sleeping on this, but I really do feel like we have the possibility of creeping in the playoffs as a fifth or sixth seed, if you ask me. I really do think that this year's Hawks team is going to creep up on a lot of folks, because no one is expecting the East to be anything outside of the Celtics, 76ers, and Toronto after they acquire Kawhi Leonard from the Spurs. So outside of those three teams, I feel like the East is wide open, and we can open some people's eyes with the young talent that we have on our roster. So that's my take on the Hawks. Now, you know I got to talk about my hometown Braves, right? First thing I got to talk about is their second year out there at SunTrust. The move from Turner to SunTrust was kind of quick, but we was in a rebuild mode for a long time, and I really do feel like this year's team has the potential to go to the playoffs very deep. I like the move to build from the farm league, pitching staff, and of course skill positions as well. It's a lot of fresh faces that
If you're not a fan of baseball, you might not recognize. My whole thing is, can we contend in the NL East? And can we stay there? Because past years, it's always been Bryce Harper and the Nationals that always come through in the NL East. Or it might be the New York Mets that come through. And this year, we just kind of like right in the thick of things. We just got to have a good second half in order to creep out of the NL East and into the playoffs. And the pitching staff has got to stay strong. I really do like all the young talent we have. Ronald Acuna, Ozzy Albies, Dansby Swanson, a couple of skilled players. I was a little heated a couple of years ago. We signed Freddie Freeman to a 5-year, 135, and put a bunch of players that was a little bit out of their prime. I just couldn't understand it, but now it seems like it's coming all together where they're going out and making all the right moves. It seems like they're making all the right moves now that they done moved from Turner Field. So I hope our pitching staff stays strong, and I want the hometown Braves to bring back something that they haven't brought back since 1995. I've been here since 87, so we need something from the Braves. They haven't made any noise, so I really do feel like our squad this year is right in the thick of things, and we just got to stay strong and hold on and move on and get better, constantly get better. Don't stay there. Pitching staff, skilled players. That's all the dirt that I have on the hometown Braves. Now, of course, I'm a huge fan of college football and from here. So, of course, I rep the Bulldogs 100%. So, of course, 2017 was a heartbreaker for me when both of my hometown squads did the exact same thing. First, the Falcons. With the Patriots shindig with Tom Brady and blowing the second half league in overtime. And then fast forward, you have the Bulldogs. They did the same thing against the squad that I don't like the most in college football. The Patriots of the college football, if you will, in Alabama. Head coach Nick Saban had these guys up against the rope the entire game. And second half, they take Jalen Hurts out and put in the backup quarterback, Tua, left-hand quarterback. And he came in and he really lived up to the expectation. He really played the position to the best of his ability. They rolled the back of Jalen Hurts all the way to the championship game. And Nick Saban changed quarterbacks at halftime. That decision changed the game, and it was the key to them winning. Broken coverage in overtime. They hit the wide receiver and ran off the field in the Mercedes-Benz. And I could not believe that happened twice in 1 year. Twice in 1 year. I was really taken back by it. Like, man, the same thing that happened to the Falcons. It's the same thing that happened to the Bulldogs against the team that is considered number one for the past forever. And we really gave the game away. So, I really feel like our recruiting class this year was very strong. We had the number one recruiting class to Alabama's number seven. I think we, the quarterback situation that we have, Jake Fromm, I think they need to take the training wheels off of him and and really let him play quarterback. He has a strong competition in dual threat quarterback Justin Fields, homegrown talent, and he's going to give Jake Fromm a very strong competition. And I hope he thrives. I hope both of them thrive. I know that Georgia is majority of running back, you know, five running backs, Todd Gurley, Sonny Michel, Nick Chubb, the list goes on. So that's no difference this year. We have a clutter backfield, and DeAndre Swift, sophomore, Elijah Holyfield, Evander Holyfield's son, he's a junior, Zamir White, freshman, James Cook, Dalvin Cook's brother, Brian Heron, he's a junior. And I really do feel like our running back is solid. So if one goes down, the other steps up. I know we're running back first squad, but we also have wide receiver to complement that running game. And Riley Ridley, that's Calvin's brother from the Falcons. J.J. Holloman, Trey Blunt, Matt Landers, Terry Godwin, Matt Landers, again, Tyler Simmons, Tommy Bush, Jason Stanley, Mecole Hardman, Akil Crompton, and Kiaris Jackson. So offense should be pretty strong. The quarterback situation should be pretty good. So if Fromm messes up, or if he has a game that the coaching staff is not too thrilled about, he knows he has strong competition waiting on the wing, ready to put their helmet on him, Justin Fields. And he's going to capitalize on his opportunity. I saw the spring game. I like what I saw. He's very accurate. And comparison, me, I see a little bit of Cam Newton in him. So if Fromm going to get the nod to start off the season, but I remember what happened to Easton. Easton transferred after Fromm came in and took his position. So don't sleep. It's going to be a huge quarterback competition that's going on down there in Athens. And, I'm just very excited and ready to get the football season started. Defense should be returned to form. Like I said, we had a number one recruiting class, so Kirby Smart has built a real winning mentality down there in Athens, and I hope the tradition just keeps up and we kind of corner all the homegrown talent and don't let them go to any other D1 schools as in Alabama, LSU, or Florida. I just want homegrown talent to stay here in Georgia, and that's my dirt that I have on the Bulldogs. Hopefully we end up in a rematch against Alabama so we can catch that fade again, and hopefully the outcome will be different, and hopefully we'll be walking away with the championship trophy. So that's all the dirt that I have on the Bulldogs. I just want to thank you guys for listening, tuning in from Live from the Mud. Trust me, I get better as the episodes go along. Real excited about the opportunity that I have to display my talent and my passion for sports and music. I give you nothing but good content. It's Live from the Mud. I'm your host, Tay Cool. Stay tuned for the next episode. It's Welcome to Atlanta, first episode. Peace.